Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everyone. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden. This is the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine. A lot of stuff to talk about today regarding the Trump rally, J.D. Vance, another day, another takedown by J.D. Vance. But want to start off with Gordon Chang. He's a columnist and author. He's been on Newsmax, Wall Street Journal. He's got a new book out, Plan Red, China's Project to Destroy America. Hey, Gordon, thank you for your time and for your new book. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you coming
on. Thank you very much.
So let me, I just saw before we came on the show, I was going through X and I saw J.D. Vance was commenting on some show that China had, I think it was 26%, maybe it was 32% of the world's GDP in production, almost double what the United States has. And he's like, we cannot allow this to continue. What do you know what those statistics are, or how much of a disparity is there? Because he was warning, if we're not careful, the United States is going to be, everything that we have is going to be made by countries that don't like us.
Well, I don't think he was referring to gross domestic product, because our economy is far larger than China's. He could have been referring to GDP growth, and he might have been referring to manufacturing.
That's it.
Right now, manufacturing. Yeah, China is a larger manufacturer than the United States, because we have decided as a nation to outsource critical manufacturing facilities, which we should have never done, because we're now starting to learn that in a hostile state of China, they are using their central position in supply chains to try to coerce us. So J.D. Vance is absolutely right about that.
Well, then talk about your book then, this Plan Red, because I know in it you mentioned that, you know, this is like a real threat. This isn't just some sort of philosophical musings, you know, that are not based in some hardcore and fairly scary reality, right?
It is, because our foreign policy elites, our leaders, our foreign policy makers don't understand China's fundamental assault on the United States. They think we're at peace. The Chinese are waging their brand of war. And this is not theoretical, because each year, some 70 to 75,000 Americans die from doses of illicit Chinese fentanyl, which is China's plan to weaken the United States by killing Americans. We know that this project that is run at the top of the Communist Party, and we have political leaders, including President Biden right now, who refuse to acknowledge that. So China continues to kill Americans. Our leaders should know what's going on. They permit this. Americans should be, of course, outraged at the Chinese, but they should be more outraged at their leaders, who we elect to protect us, who have decided not to do so.
How much, you know, over the time since Biden was elected, there's been much talk and things revealed about Hunter Biden's connections with China, and therefore Joe's connections with China. How does that tie in, do you think? I mean, were they willingly turning a blind eye? Were they just stupid, or were they being bribed, do you think?
Well, we know that lots of money, millions of dollars, have gone into the coffers of the Biden family. So we've got to presume that there is corruption. But there's also something else that I think is even more concerning, and that is the possibility or the reality of blackmail. We know that Hunter Biden's been on Chinese soil at a time of his life where he admits that he was troubled. If the Ministry of State Security has evidence of that, then the Chinese leaders could be bribed. It could be blackmailing Biden, or Biden can know that the Chinese leaders have that information and therefore, without even being blackmailed, could be taking decisions that he knows will not anger China, because he doesn't want that information about his son to be released. So there's real great concern about that as well. But we also know that even in the absence of blackmail or corruption, that Biden has been misguided on foreign policy. Robert Gates, our defense secretary in the Bush and Obama administrations, famously wrote in his 2014 memoir that Joe Biden has been wrong on nearly every foreign policy and national security matter of the past four decades. So they don't even need to pay him for Biden to make bad decisions.
Well, there was an interesting article on the fact that the Chinese spy apparatus is really enormously huge all across the world, including Europe, including the United States. And we don't quite understand that, it seems.
Well, we should, because this operation has been in existence for a long time. We've had evidence of it. And this is our country, and we don't have to put up with this. So again, this is a case where we've known of a danger, and our political leadership has decided not to do anything effective about it. So we've allowed the Chinese to hoover up all of this information, some of it sensitive, and it's on us.
What about, you hear too about China, two questions actually. One, China and universities. You read about, you know, massive donations and student
institutes.
Right, in the education system. And then also you look at now, I was reading this a little while ago, a few months ago, but the number of Chinese people coming across the southern border. And basically the gist of the article was, you know, China doesn't just let its people leave and say, okay, we're going to go to America now, see ya, right? That there is perhaps something planned or diabolically strategic about that? Do you see those too?
Well, certainly about the second one. Yes, Chinese people need exit permits. I think the majority of Chinese migrants at our southern and northern borders are who they say they are. They are desperate Chinese wanting to live in a free society. But among them, there are some very suspicious looking elements who have come here to attack us. And we know that with this increased invasion of migrants, there's been a noticeable uptick in Chinese nationals trying to sneak into our military bases. So for instance, last month, a Chinese national was caught trying to get into a nuclear weapons site of the United States. And so again, we know what's going on. We released this individual, which we should not have done so. This is the story of a very strong country, the United States, far stronger than China. But we're a country who can lose our freedoms because the Chinese can take us down because they're assaulting us and we're not protecting ourselves.
What's the psychology, suppose, behind that? Because I think in the United States, there's like, oh, you know, we're the big United States. Nothing can take us down. And China, they're kind of like a developing country. And sure, they're getting stronger and they make a lot of stuff that we can buy cheaply. But why is it, do you think that, because people like you keep sounding the warning, right? And nothing really seems to change. What is it behind this? I guess this just this Americans, you know, we keep our head in the sand too long.
Well, there's a lot of factors in it. First of all, we're Americans, so we think we can ignore what our enemies say about us. And, you know, we don't have to look very far back in history to see another case where we ignored Osama bin Laden. I mean, we decided not to see what he had done, even after he killed six Americans at the bombing of the North Tower of the World Trade Center in 1993. So we are a society that is particularly vulnerable because we have chosen to be vulnerable. And the American people need to understand this because we got an election coming up. We can do something about the leaders who have left us open.
Let me ask you about that in a second, but I wanted to ask you, too, just a little bit more about the dangers. I've been reading things talking about China buying up rare mineral rights and that basically the chips that are going to power the AI and the computers of the future are almost exclusively, I think, made in China right now. So two-part question. Am I right about that? And secondly, how threatening or dangerous is that to the United States?
Well, everything runs on computer chips these days, and China has been buying up the raw materials for chips, the rare earth minerals and stuff. And they process it. It's not just possessing it, it's also processing it. Now, here again, rare earth minerals, in fact, are not rare. They're abundant all over the world. But we have decided that their production is environmentally unsound. And so we have let China do this. And again, China has then started to put limits and certainly restrictions and boycotts on the exports of rare earths to the United States. So we can get around that because although we've got to buy, China's got to sell, and we can buy through third parties and all the rest of it. But the point is, this was no mystery. People have been talking about rare earths for more than a decade, and yet we have decided not to do anything about it.
What about
You talked about, you know, the Chinese, and they seem to have a great sense of history and looking farther back. You noted that tens of thousands of Americans have died from fentanyl. And as a practical matter, the European countries led by Britain in the middle of the 19th century went to war to try to prevent the Chinese from banning opium sales into their own country, which killed hundreds of thousands of Chinese. And it's Americans don't seem to have a much of a sense of history to understand that why the Chinese may scoff at our claims about fentanyl.
Well, if you go back to the 1840s, the history is complicated. Opium was not considered a prohibited substance then. This was a trade war, and the Chinese regime has tried to change it into something else. But whatever, even if it were a prohibited substance and the British were peddling death, the point is, that's not us, and that is a very long time ago. And so whatever China may feel aggrieved at the period of the middle of the 19th century, we're in the 21st century. So let's start defending ourselves.
Right.
It's not to say we shouldn't defend ourselves, but it really isn't a period of time just yesterday. And there are lots of countries that have long-term memories. And we've got to understand how adverse China is to us. And we seem to ignore that. We love to have Russia as our greatest adversary when it really has no real reason to be an adversary of ours. Well, China has an enormous reason to be an adversary.
Yes. Well, China's regime and Xi Jinping has been trying to impose China's imperial era system, where Chinese emperors believe that they not only had the mandate of heaven to rule what they call Qianxia, or all under heaven, but that heaven actually compelled them to do so. So when you believe that you're the only legitimate ruler on earth, you tend to look at the United States as not only an upstart, but also as illegitimate. And so that puts our relations in a very different light. And it's even worse than that, because the Communist Party thinks it is in an existential struggle with the US. And that's not because of anything that we say or do, because of who we are. You have an insecure regime in Beijing is worried about the inspirational impact of our values and form of governance on the Chinese people. So the Communist Party believes that it is never going to be secure as long as the United States of America exists, which means that they believe that they have to destroy our society and kill Americans.
And does that, let me ask you a little bit in terms of, you know, every 4 years, the United States has an election. So I think one of the big, I guess, sort of flaws in this country is there's not much in the way of long-term thinking, right? You're only thinking sort of the next election cycle ahead. Whereas China, it seems to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, but has a much longer view of the things, right? They're not just saying, okay, well, if we don't get this done in 2 years, we'll start over again. Right? I mean, they've been planning this, and I get the impression from what you're saying, are prepared to keep at it for as long as it takes.
Well, democracies very rarely have consistent foreign policies because we do have elections. I mean, we had a consistent foreign policy more or less during the Cold War, but we're not able to do that now. China can have a consistent foreign policy because it has a long-term ruler. But the problem for China is that when that ruler has dangerous ideas, dangerous not just to us, but to China itself, then that can destroy their country. And that's exactly what's happening now with Xi Jinping. So China has a very, very difficult time going forward in terms of foreign policy and domestic policy as well. But the other thing about it is that China at this point doesn't have, I think, a long-term perspective. Because Xi Jinping, although he has now made himself essentially ruler for life, he has an election every day. He has to be very happy that he wakes up alive every morning because that's the nature of their system. And we have seen some very short-term thinking and some incomprehensible policy choices by China under Xi Jinping. So we can argue that they've got an even shorter-term perspective than we do.
What about Donald Trump then? How important is it, do you think, the difference between a Donald Trump presidency and a Kamala Harris presidency?
Well, we know that Kamala Harris is not interested in foreign policy. There's Seymour Hersh reporting that she actually told the director of national intelligence not to send her the president's daily brief, which is the daily summary of the collection of the intelligence community. So she just doesn't care. Now, she's focused entirely on domestic things, and that means she's going to be on the job learner when the Chinese are probably going to challenge her. And we know that if she adopts the Biden foreign policy by keeping on Biden's foreign policy team, we know where that leads to. Whatever one thinks, Trump gave Biden a very peaceful world on January 20th, 2021, when Biden took the oath of office. We know that since that time, there has been essentially a failure of the international system, where you have wars in Ukraine, North Africa, now the Middle East. Xi Jinping is threatening war in East Asia. So we can see the difference between the Biden foreign policy approach, which sounds good to the ear, but which has been a total disaster, and the Trump foreign policy approach, which somehow worked.
What about from the manufacturing economic point of view? Is J.D. Vance right? I mean, is it possible under Donald Trump to turn things around in the United States to gain some footing back, or is it too late?
It's never too late. But yes, we have the world's largest market, which means we have all the tools in which to bring manufacturing back. And we can bring even low-cost manufacturing to this side of the Pacific in Central America, for instance, where we would be much better off if we had our toys made very close to us in our hemisphere rather than across the world. So, yes, we have the tools to do it. We are the one country in the world that can solve its own problems. That's not to say that we will solve our own problems, but it is to say we can do it if we can just muster the political will.
Well, what? I'd like to ask a question I really don't know the answer to. How is China succeeding in melding a communist philosophy along with a globalist not free market, but some kind of market system? They've had a growing middle class, which I would think eventually demands rights to have some say in the governance. How is China doing in melding these two competing philosophical ideas?
Well, they did it with our money and our technology and our know-how. And right now, where we're restricting that and other societies are restricting their money as well, we're seeing the Chinese economy fail. And China right now doesn't have the ability to solve its own problems. It's got simultaneous crises. Xi Jinping is taking his country in the wrong direction. He's politically powerful, so he can enforce really disadvantageous solutions on China. And the reason why we've got to be concerned is because Xi Jinping might turn around, lash out, and decide that war is his only way out. So I can't say that China is succeeding right now. At one point it did because it had the world supporting it, but now the world is not supporting it to the same extent. And so therefore the Chinese regime is having problems just getting by.
How do the Chinese middle class, with no political power, it appears, are they restless, or is that not a problem?
Well, they are restless because we've seen, for instance, in October 2022, a series of just spontaneous protests across China. And it started with COVID lockdowns, but there were other grievances. Right now, we know that the Chinese people are really unhappy. And part of it is because the store of their wealth, the property, has plunged in value and really very little prospect for recovery. About 70% of the wealth of the Chinese middle class are vacant apartments, and those apartments have been losing substantial percentages of value each month. So right now, we know that they're not very happy. We see a lot of Chinese people opting out of society. We see Chinese people leaving their country, and especially the young are, quote unquote, retiring to the countryside. These are not signs of a healthy society.
what is China going to do about that? Is that what you were talking about before, though, where the Chinese leader is going to, at some point, realize he has to crack down or go to war or do something?
Yes, well, that's my concern, that Xi Jinping is reacting either solely or almost solely to domestic incentives. And that's why we're seeing very aggressive foreign policy, some of which looks to be incoherent. So right now, we got to be concerned that Xi Jinping has domestic incentives to start another war. And if there's another war, you know, it's really going to be World War III, because then we'll have wars in Europe and Ukraine. We'll have wars at both ends of Asia. And we'll have North Africa, where there are insurgencies that look like wars. So that's pretty much a good portion of the world.
Wow. Well, what about when, you know, you talk about the project to destroy America? It sounds to me like what you're saying is sort of bottom line. This is not secret, right? The Chinese aren't particularly keeping all of this top secret. And, you know, no one knows. It's like you said, they're doing it in open. What we need to do as the United States is find the will to stop it, basically, right?
Right. I mean, they declared People's Daily, which is the most authoritative publication in China, declared a people's war in May 2019 on the United States. People's war has great resonance among Chinese communist thinking. It's total war, as they explained last year. So they're not hiding this. It's just that we have decided that we absolutely determined not to listen to what they're saying. And as we go back and talk again about Osama bin Laden couldn't kill that many Americans. China can kill a lot and has killed a lot. And we're still determined not to pay attention.
One of our listeners is asking, what do you think the chances are of China going into Taiwan?
I think that Taiwan, I mean, I don't think that China would start hostilities with an invasion of the main island of Taiwan. Xi Jinping doesn't trust his generals and admirals. A war in Taiwan would be extremely unpopular with the Chinese people. And the Chinese regime is casualty averse. But they could very well impose a quarantine, which is not an act of war, but I think in this case would lead eventually to war. And we see Xi Jinping in challenging the Japanese in the East China Sea at the Senkaku Islands, which the Chinese call the Diaoyus. Chinese got troops deep into Indian-controlled territory. They're engaging in acts of war against the Philippines and the South China Sea, despite a series of warnings from the United States. So, yeah, war could break out anywhere. My guess would be the Philippines, because of what we've been seeing the Chinese doing, but it could be anywhere along their periphery to the east or south.
Wow. Well, let me listen. We're gonna have to let you go. But before we do, so Gordon Chang, Plan Red, China's Project to Destroy America, where can people get your book and find out more about it?
Anywhere where books are sold. And I tweet out all of this at Gordon G. Chang. And I archive my articles for free on my website, which is www.gordonchang.com.
All right.
Well,
thanks
very much for coming on. Really appreciate you talking with us.
I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right, guys, Gordon Chang, Plan Red, China's Project to Destroy America. It does sound like, I mean, you know, we talk about this all the time, right? And sooner or later, something will happen as he compared it to, you know, Osama bin Laden. And then we'll say, oh, maybe we should have been paying attention to that all along, right?
Well, you know, you have to go back to the 1930s and remember how close the United States and Japan were. You know, they would send people over to be educated and everything else, including Yamamoto, the famous admiral. You know, it can go from friendly relations to a war really quick.
Right.
Really quick.
Well, and it is, to me, particularly alarming is what he was talking about. I was kind of vaguely under the impression that things were domestically okay. Well, not maybe not okay in China, but that China could crack down. But it sounds like he's saying no, that like any world leader, he's got a bunch of issues. And thank you, Leo. He says, Chang is pretty good. Great that we got him on. You know, when you've got a bunch of issues going on, maybe just launch a war and that kind of solves a lot of your problems, huh?
Yeah, right.
Want to switch gears now. I want to talk about JD Vance. And Chuck, I heard you listening to this soundbite earlier. I'm just saying it's another day, another JD Vance takedown of a hysterical mainstream media person, right? I mean, JD Vance has got it down. I mean, and Trump does too. JD Vance, frankly, I think is more effective about it than Trump. But they just ask him the most insane, stupid questions, and he just is like, I mean, he just kind of throws it right back at them and he gives them a reasonable answer. And then they stammer and they stomp their feet and say, well, election denier or something like that. Right. I mean,
what they say is that they want to get the last word. And so after Vance says something, they go, well, then there is no so-and-so now. And then they go to another question because they always want to have the last word on it, even though they lost the argument.
That's right. We wanted to play you a fun one. This was J.D. Vance, Martha Raddatz. And this is after Trump came to Aurora, right? And there's, I mean, this is going viral, and we'll talk about that in a second, all over the place. Viral in a good way. You know, they've been trying to tell us, and the mainstream media keeps doubling down on the fact that there is no Venezuelan, there is no illegal immigrant crime. It's all just a feature
the
of
Haitians your Haitians in Springfield are making a garden spot of that area.
Yeah.
Booming the economy.
If we
now,
could,
when they're in Haiti, they don't boom the economy. Once they come to Springfield, they're great.
They just boom the economy. If we could please play, this is the J.D. Vance with Martha Raddatz. Time with the J.D. Vance soundbite, please.
Residents were limited to a handful of apartment complexes, and the mayor said our dedicated police officers have acted on those concerns. A handful of problems.
Only, Martha, do you hear yourself? Only a handful of apartment complexes in America were taken over by Venezuelan gangs, and Donald Trump is the problem and not Kamala Harris's open border. Americans are so fed up with what's going on, and they have every right to be. And I really find this exchange, Martha, sort of interesting because you seem to be more focused with nitpicking everything that Donald Trump has said rather than acknowledging that apartment complexes in the United States of America are being taken over by violent gangs. I worry so much more about that problem than anything else here. We've got to get American communities in a safe space again. And unfortunately, when you let people in by the millions, most of whom are unvetted, most of whom you don't know who they really are, you're going to have problems like this. Kamala Harris, 94 executive orders that undid Donald Trump's successful border policies. We knew this stuff would happen.
They
bragged about opening the border, and now we have the consequences, and we're living with it. We can do so much better, but frankly, we're not going to do better, Martha, unless Donald Trump calls this stuff out. I'm glad that he did.
Well, I'm sorry to hear the other part where she adds underneath her breath. Well, there was no invasion. Okay.
Yeah. Well, did you see her look at smoke? She goes, only a handful, which is what he stole it from me, too. It's what I've been saying. It's like as if having any violent,
mostly
illegal,
peaceful overtaking of the apartment.
Yeah. I mean, and now they've got, there are pictures in the New York Post today of the same gang members taking over apartment complexes in New York. Joe Rogan was playing it there, too, where, you know, where they, all the media people say, oh, no, it's not true. And then they show it's true. Elon Musk is now retweeting about it because what is brilliant is the CBZ management company started over the weekend after people were saying it's not true, not true, not true, right? They started releasing the receipts. They had a law. If you go on X, it's CBZ at management, right? So these are the people who own the apartment complexes, just a handful of them. And Chuck, they're going on, they're showing, they're saying, here's how it happened. Here's when we called the police. Here are the receipts. Here's the videotapes from inside the apartment complex. Here's our apartment manager who was beaten, and they show him being beaten, right, by these gang members who said, hey, we're in control here now. And they go on and on and on. And all these media people are like, oh, well, how come you didn't say this before? It's like, because you told them that it wasn't true. What do you mean, how come you didn't tell it to us before? They tried, right? And they got slammed down. They were called racist. Everyone told them that's not true. Then the city of Aurora, rather than fixing it under Mike Kaufman, says, okay, we're just going to seize your buildings now, right? And we're going to cite you for all kinds of code violations. It's you know, I mean, it's just ridiculous. But I think it's interesting that, like I said, Joe Rogan, who has no small following, he's putting out all this stuff, right? He says, everybody says, oh, there's no gang problem. Then he just plays all of this stuff where it shows the gang problem. And then Elon Musk is retweeting it. So they're constant attempts to say it's not true are not working, really, are they?
No, they're not working, and it's all they can do is get more and more upset. And J.D. Vance is great. He had an interview with a woman, New York Times reporter, who was just getting irate. And I mean, they just said, "Well, if we get mad enough, then they'll have to give in and admit that we're right." But J.D. Vance is not admitting they're right, and it's really an amazing. And at the same time, you have the Waltz and Kamala thing, terrified to talk to, friendly people. I mean, it's a what a contrast. What
Well,
a
here and
contrast.
from some of the things from Charlene, just a handful here, a handful there. Vance is so good at the takedowns, right? From Sandra, as she texted on another show, it doesn't matter if it was one apartment or a one damn city that was taken over by gangs. These people are illegal criminals. They should be picked up and sent back to their own countries, right? And then Leo says everyone in his apartment complex has a copy of The Art of War and a few Smiths and Wessons. And I've got Jacob raising his hand. Hey, Jacob, thank you for chiming in here.
Hi. Two things. One, it shows you what a corrupt media can do to a community and to, let's say, to a group of apartment houses by lying and lying
Yeah.
when the whole thing really did happen. But I just wanted to say one quick thing. I got my ballots in the mail Saturday, and I've already voted. But there was
Good.
one thing on the Denver ballot asking if we would if Denver can change the charter to allow peace officers to be non-citizens. I didn't know a non-citizen could arrest a citizen.
Well, Jacob, that's just a technicality. It's like,
Yeah. I mean, I know they're probably talking about parking meter guys and all that, but it doesn't disqualify the police department. It didn't say anything only or not policemen, but only meter people. They weren't specific on who it was.
wow,
Well,
that's
I can
pretty
promise
interesting.
you they'll interpret it very broadly.
Right.
Yeah.
It would
Yeah.
be,
A lot
that's.
of this stuff is very broad. That 79, take away the parents'
Yeah, we're
responsibilities in
going to
case.
talk about that. Yes, exactly. We'll talk about that here in
Okay.
a little bit
Bye.
because a lot of them are. But okay, cool. Well, thank you, Jacob. Appreciate it. Yeah, and we'll get to the ballot initiatives. Before we do, actually, I just wanted to play one good thing. Just Dave Williams, as we noted, took the stage at the Trump rally and had, I think, a great speech, kind of talking with this. And this is why we and I support Dave Williams, is he just puts it out there. He doesn't, there's no Christy Burton Brown saying, "Oh, we love everyone and we want to make sure, that we have affordable housing for all, blah, blah, blah." Or, no offense, Gabe Evans, but Gabe Evans saying, "Well, I only want to deport the criminal illegal aliens." It's like they're all the number one, Gabe, they're all criminal because they're here illegally. So there's that. You'd think as a police officer, he would know that. But there are too many politicians who mince words, and I think Dave does not. And so I just wanted to play this little clip from when he introduced, well, he didn't introduce Trump, but he was at the Trump rally. So, Thomas, if we could please play the Dave Williams soundbite.
And let you know that this movement is about you. It's about taking back this country and doing what we need to do to ensure that Kamala Harris fails and is not put in the White House and that Donald Trump gets another 4 years. Amen? Now, today you're going to hear a lot of great speeches from wonderful people. There's a great lineup of folks. Congresswoman Lauren Boebert, you guys know who she is, right? Make some noise. You're going to hear about what's happening today and what's going on in this country and how we can all work together to ensure that we win in less than a month. Right now, we have a crisis in this state and in this country. And as you can see from these pictures, it's one of a national invasion on the southern border. We have folks that are coming across this country, coming across our border that shouldn't be here. And the press, the fake news media behind you right there, let them know what you think about them, by the way. That's right. Hopefully the press can quote that. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that Donald Trump is here. He's coming today to highlight the very real problem we have on our southern border and what they refuse to cover. So when he gets here, I want you to give him a good, big Colorado warm welcome. I want you to hear the truth, tell your neighbors. But more importantly, we have an election to win. So when you have an opportunity, please visit Donald Trump's website. Please join Trump Force 47. Please go to the Colorado website. for our party. That's COLOGOP.org. And please help us win this election, not only for Donald Trump, but for all of our wonderful down ballot candidates, because we have a country to save.
There you go. I thought you did a good job, Chuck.
That's great. That's great. Yeah.
Okay, speaking of then elections, because I know Leo had asked about this and I've had some other people ask. I mean, Chuck and I don't agree on all of these, but let's start off with ballot. It's Amendment 80. This is just a statewide stuff we're talking about. So this is a statutory right to school choice. The Colorado Republican Party put this out. This initiative enshrines the right to school choice into the state constitution, the right for parents to direct the education of their child, to enroll them in a public school, charter school, private school, homeschool them, or send them to another district through open enrollment. Given the repeated attacks on charter schools by the legislature, some people think that this is a good idea to put it into the state constitution. However, some groups are raising the alarm on the language in the ballot. And basically, I think what they're concerned about are sort of unintended consequences where the government, the legislature will use this to kind of backdoor their way into usurping parental authority. And the GOP just says the language is short and concise, but readers should vote their conscience as voters are wary of education bills that lead to bigger government. What do you think on this one, Chuck? Leo was asking about this one.
Well, you know, one of the things you have to do is go find out who are behind various initiatives. And this is one of several that is being put forth by Michael Fields, the former head of Americans for Prosperity, head of Advanced Colorado. And my guess is that they put three or four ballots together that they thought would appeal to conservatives and therefore get them to sign on to 131, which is getting rid of the political parties and being controlled by the very rich. So my guess is this is just a feint by Michael Fields to make sure you can get just rich people participate in elections. And therefore, I think it's probably a yes vote for me, because I don't think he intends for the tricky, you know, the language to be tricky. It's not a lefty trying to get language in, but it's one of, I think, four or five.
You know, yeah, I mean, and we'll go through that. I think we've changed. I would be a yes on this too. Just to me, I think the legislature is going to continue in Colorado because it's backed by the teachers' unions, right? I mean, you're already seeing ads against this, right?
Right.
And they're false, full of fake information. But the teachers' unions are going to fight long and hard against school choice under any and all conditions. And I think I would be a yes on this one too, because I think at least if it's in the Constitution, it makes them a little bit harder for them to fiddle with, at least on a permanent level. Yeah, the other one that you're talking about too, this is an interesting one. Truth in sentencing. This is Proposition 128. The initiative would require offenders convicted of crimes that occur after January 1st, 2025 to serve 85% of their sentences before being eligible for parole versus the current requirement to serve 75% of their terms. What do you think on that one? This is another one of those ones you're talking about, right? That's being put forth, I think, by Advance Colorado.
Yeah, yeah. It was put forth in order to hide their 1 in 131, and to make,
which is the right choice voting.
Yeah, because they had to go out. It's incredibly expensive, as Peg Cage and some other people found out, to actually go around and get enough signatures. That's not an easy thing to do. And so what I imagine they did is they came up to people with three or four or five initiatives. The only one they really cared about was 131 and have ranked choice voting. And this is another one they thought would sound good to people, and therefore they get it passed. I mean, I think it's worthless. I think it's bad policy because it just makes prosecutors a little stronger and they could care less about it. It's not a group of people who really want to do that. It's a bunch of wily left-wing rhinos who are trying to fool the ever-foolable Republicans and others in the state. So I'd vote no.
I know the Colorado Republican Party recommends voting yes on that, but I too would vote no. Number one, it kind of says, oh, it would be more transparent. Well, it's equally transparent. The current requirement is 75%. The next would be 85%. And I am always skeptical, having covered so much crime and crime in courts and stuff. I think the more that you put legislatively into requirements, it gives the judges, and not that, I mean, assuming, yes, the judges are going to be correct, but I think that it really limits things and almost always kind of backfires, right? It almost always ends up, you know, I don't know. I mean, number one, the prisons are crowded. I mean, so then they get out for other reasons too. I mean, I think that, so they're going to serve 10% more of their term. I mean, what's that going to be, right? I mean, months. I don't know. I don't think it's going to do anything to make the United States safer, to make Colorado safer. The biggest problem we have is that they don't put him behind bars in the first place and prosecute him, right?
Yeah, this is just a fake one by Fields and the others. And
Jacob is saying, oh, I think he's talking about 131. Democrats are against it. Okay, let me go. Here's another one, too. This one is not one. I don't know who put this one out. This is Prop 129, establish qualifications and registration for veterinary professional associates. This would create a profession called a veterinarian professional associate, which requires a master's degree and a registration with the State Board of Veterinary Medicine, a solution to the shortage of veterinary care, expanding access in rural communities. The state Republican Party says vote yes on this. And I think I would vote. I'm not sure. I know that I've been hearing and reading things from veterinarians who say, hey, look, there are plenty of veterinarians. This is just going to decrease the vet care. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on this one, or anybody out there have any thoughts on this one? Anybody know any veterinarians?
I think it's an effort by the larger veterinary clinics so they can hire cheap labor.
That's true.
Behind this thing, and it's got to be veterinarians themselves, generally speaking, wouldn't want this because it's creating a lot of competition on themselves. Normally, that's why lawyers, don't allow everybody to be a lawyer, and they don't want everybody to be veterinarians. So my guess is it's an effort by the big veterinary clinics against the small individual ones, and therefore I'd be against it.
All right. And then another one, and this goes back, I think, to your conspiracy theory, which is probably correct. Amendment 1, a constitutional bail exception for first-degree murder. A yes vote on this would allow judges to deny bail to a person charged with first-degree murder when the judge determines that the proof is evident or presumption is great. Okay, they already do that. I mean, every trial I've ever covered, when they have a proof, evident, presumption, great, the person who is facing a possibility, well, the mandatory life in prison sentence, if they're convicted of first degree murder, they don't get bail anyway. So this to me is solving a problem, I think, that doesn't exist, number one. Now, granted, I guess it could. Judges, as we know, are going crazy now. But there again, I just kind of, to me, this adds more layers of government bureaucracy on systems that that I think that the government, we just don't need more laws on that.
And it would only get through the House because this is and the Senate is controlled by Democrats if the Democrats wanted it. So it's a Democratic proposal, and therefore I'd oppose it.
Oh, so it's not the ranked choice voting people, you don't think?
I don't know who it is, but it's one that's been put on the ballot, not by people signing, but by concurrent resolution by the Senate and the House, controlled totally by Democrats. Therefore, it would only be, they would have to be the ones who are behind it.
Okay. And I'll hear from something from Jacob, and you've got other comments, so I'll go back. Jacob says there's a veterinarian clinic in Edgewater that had a sign saying they were closed due to the lack of veterinarians. And then Jacob says, wise move here. I voted no on all the judges. Exactly.
Yes.
And then let's see, what do we have? From Sandra, parents already have choice. Vote no on this. We don't need more governments in our lives. Yeah, that I think is some of the thing. I could see on some of these issues both ways, right? Because I kind of think, for instance, the city of Glendale, have a law for a while. I don't know if they still do that. For every new law they pass, they had to take one away. I mean,
it's
I think
not a law, but it's a council resolution. Yeah,
a council resolution. I mean, I think some of that's true, right? Because people are sitting around, they don't have anything else to do, so they're like, "Oh, here's a good idea," and it does sound good. But then all of a sudden, you find yourself as a society just completely swamped and overwhelmed and crushed by all of these laws and regulations and bureaucracies that go along to support them. And pretty soon, all of a sudden, you're like, "Oh, I thought we could, all of a sudden now you've got all these other things." And so I can see where with some of it, just vote no, your kind of thing, just vote no on all of them pretty much. Right. I thought you said,
well, yeah, I mean, I am going to vote for one or two of them, but the only one that matters is 131. And right. A lot of these other ones were just put in to placate people so they'd support 131.
You think, does Advance Colorado support 131? Or have
oh,
we heard?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I find it interesting. So 131 is the ranked choice voting. We talked about this a little bit before. The Independence Institute, which is not so independent anymore, is neutral on ranked choice voting. So that tells you where they are, right? Mark Hillman, who writes for them, is also neutral on ranked choice voting. So guys, I can tell you right now, anyone who is neutral on ranked choice voting is an establishment rhino who is looking to make money off of all the rich people who will control the elections from now on.
But there's an exception to that. Dick Wadhams, our beloved Dick Wadhams, has been hired by the 131 to make sure it passes. So when Dick Wadhams is dying to have ranked choice voting, you know where he gets his money from and who he is.
Right. Well, and you know, I know you guys have probably all seen the all the ads on the ranked choice voting, and they're well done, and they make it seem like, oh, it's just going to get rid of the extremists, it's just going to get rid of the divisiveness. No, it's not. It's just going to get rid of political parties as we know it,
it's
and elections.
Get rid of everybody but the billionaires.
Right, and their chosen appointed puppets, right? Yeah. I mean, that's all it's going to do. And I worry that it's going to pass. And I think earlier there was some conversation.
There's $11 million that's been dedicated to it by the rich people, and the amount of money against it, zero.
Right.
Zero. It's going to pass. You can like it or not like it, but you get $11 million one way, and you get the establishment. You know, the Republican Party is quote-unquote against it. They get no money. The Democratic Party says it's against it, but it's not going to do anything about it. So, you know, you can guarantee this one's passing, and it'll end your participation, and it'll just be which billionaire's puppet gets elected.
Yeah, I know. And the legislature tried to do, and I'm sure that'll just get challenged and thrown out, and it's complicated, but they tried to pass, well, they did pass a law that said they'd have to sort of like try it in certain smaller elections first. Well, that'll get thrown out, I imagine.
No, I don't know it'll necessarily be thrown out. I don't know which. Why do you think it necessarily be thrown
out?
No,
because it delays it for years and years. And if you're Kent theory,
well,
you're like,
that's a legislature has that ability to do those things. So that may be thrown out, you know. It's just what one wacky judge thinks as opposed to another wacky judge.
Right. Well, and then again, the all be wacky judges will be deciding whether we should do it. So that's that. And I think I saw Jacob said he voted already. We haven't received our ballots yet. I got the email that said they had been mailed. So we'll look for them. They've been mailed
to us. I'd like to go for a second. Denver has quite a few.
Sure. Yeah, we got a few minutes. Go ahead.
And I urge you to vote yes on all of them. Because it would just massively increase endless tax increases for this and that and everything else. It would throw out furriers. It would throw out various businesses from Denver to make it a little more weak. If you live in Denver, let them destroy itself by endlessly taxing everybody to death, higher and higher rates, and throwing businesses out as if that's their problem. Is they haven't thrown enough businesses out.
But I saw the office vacancy rate is like 34%. I mean, that's unsustainable, right? I mean, every day people are fleeing Denver, and Denver's like, well, yeah, but they're going to Cherry Creek North. It's like, oh, that's going to work well, right? I mean, can you see trying to get through the intersection of First and University? It's bad enough now, right? And so, because of course, again, in their infinite wisdom, they're not expanding transportation because in Denver, they hate cars. They want everybody to ride bikes around, even though it snows and things like that. I mean, that's a good point, Chuck. Maybe we should all sort of harvest ballots up here in Westminster and vote yes on all the Denver things and let Denver just. I'm sorry, Jacob. I know some of you guys live there.
That's your problem. You chose to move there, like moving to East Germany. Kind of like, well, wait a minute. This isn't a very fair place.
Hey, listen, that'll do it for us, guys. Thank you to Gordon Chang, and thank you guys for all the comments. Anybody else, you know, as we go through the next couple of weeks, if you want to weigh in or have a question about the ballot initiatives, feel free to go ahead and bring it up. And otherwise, we will see everybody on Wednesday.
Bye-bye, everyone.